Friends, today we have this incredible opportunity to interview Joanne with the Rosa Mystica Retreat Center or the Rosa Mystica Shrine. She's going to tell us about some of the incredible things happening there, what type of retreats they've had, as well as its history. Joanne, tell us, what are some of the amazing things happening there? If someone were to go there, what have been some of the things that you've seen?
Well, Vera, it is such a miraculous place, just from its origin to now. And everybody that goes there seems to experience all different kind of things. I mean, a good story is it has a reputation for all the miracles that happen there and everything else. We had a deacon a few years ago, and his wife came all the time, and she would tell him about it. And he says, I'm not going anywhere where there's miracles happening. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm not going, period. So his wife said, listen, I'm a deacon's wife. I go by your schedule all the time. I never ask you anything. I want you to show up. So he reluctantly went, was very upset about it. And we have an 8.5 foot, the original statue at the shrine of our Blessed Mother, Lady Rosa Mystica. So it's really miraculous. It speaks to so many people in different ways. But so Deacon Carmen gets in there and he kneels down. And to him, the statue comes alive and says, welcome, Carmen. I've been waiting for you. So now he's smacking his wife and she's like, she's talking to me. And she's like, yes, honey. She talks to everyone. She's like, no. She's talking to me. So she said a bunch of stuff to him. And then everybody goes down for lunch. And he's like, I'm going to sneak back up there and see if she's still talking to me. So he goes back up there and then she points outside. So he looks outside and the sun is spinning and all these things are happening. So now he runs down, he gets the group, the one that doesn't want, you know, to even talk about miracles, makes everybody go upstairs to see the sun spinning and everything happening outside. So it was cute because it took him a few years to admit everything. And then he brought two buses with him in gratitude to Our Lady for that amazing experience. And now he believes that miracles still happen to this day.
That's incredible. You know, I don't obviously know that deacon, but you can imagine that sometimes we hear these stories, we read these things, we don't have anything happen. And it's hard to, this is like one of those personal things that people don't want to say. Where maybe we're angry at God. We're like, God, why haven't you done anything awesome? That makes me maybe like a type of resentment or bitterness. So that's incredible that Our Lady gave him that gift.
Yes, such a gift. And miracles always are happening around that statue. Like we had a group of young adults coming up from Miami. They stopped at another shrine before us. And two or three of them went to confession. So now these 50 kids get out of the bus and they don't really want to be there. And the statue kind of spoke to a lot of them individually. And it was actually my favorite thing last year of all the miracles. I don't know why this one touched me so much. Every one of those young adults went to confession. Our priest was there till midnight because not one of them wanted to leave. You know, they slept there without going to confession. So many things happen around that. I mean, we didn't have the statue in the beginning when we took over the shrine, which I'll tell you the story later. But when she came back, or when the crate opened, she was crying like tears of joy. And you could, so everybody was there, saw the tears, and you could still see the stains of where she cried.
So it's interesting you bring kind of that miracle of people going to confession. For some people, they may hear that and think, well, that's not a big deal. But tell that to a parent or to a spouse that's been asking for years and years and years, and you're trying to convince maybe like a Protestant friend that hardness of heart sometimes is the most difficult miracle to have happen. It's like you'll see the sun spin first before you'll see certain people accept something. So that's an incredible thing to happen.
We did have that. Another one of my stories that I really like is we were having a woman's retreat, and I'm a painter. And I was at the art studio that day, and one of the girls texted me. She goes, oh, I know the retreat's full and I can't make it there, but next time. So I'm like, oh, I could probably get her in, but then I would put the teenage girls, you know, my daughters and their friends in my room. And she said next time. So I go back to painting. And the Holy Spirit's favorite line with me is, are you kidding me? So I'm like, okay. I leave the studio. I make the calls. I get her there. 22 years. Her husband was Catholic. She was Protestant. I knew her because our kids went to Catholic school together. Mm-hmm. And she just felt like she should go on that retreat. She went on that retreat. And her husband called me. She came back Monday morning. He goes, what the heck happened? After 22 years, she goes, I'm going to become a Catholic.
Wow.
I mean, and that's amazing, right?
That really is. I mean, it really, the people that would appreciate that the most are those that have people in their lives, right? that it's so hard to obtain that grace. And then it just happens. So the statue that you're referring to is of Our Lady Rosa Mystica?
Yes. Yes.
So just as a point of reference, I have a small version here for those that may not Beautiful. Know. So it's funny. I don't even know where I got this, but I just had it somewhere and I thought I need to bring it up for the interview. The one that you obtained, how tall is it? Where was it made? What's its story?
It's it's one of the original ones made in Germany. They had them at Fontecchiari, Italy, where the original apparitions took place.
Okay.
And it was bought and shipped here. And actually, how Rosa Mystica came about was Our Lady, as Our Lady of Rosa Mystica, back in 1947, she started appearing to a nun there and giving messages that the priest was going to take the road to perdition. So nobody liked that message. The apparition only actually got approved 2 years ago. It's, you know, newly approved.
Really?
And,
That's incredible.
Incredible.
It's so incredible it got approved after so many years.
Amazing, right? And you know what else too, how I love God, how he works? People are like, wow, you know, you must be so happy. And, you know, how long have you known? I said, no clue. Like, God always, even if I try to do something, God makes sure that I know it was all him. So it was a surprise out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But around the 1960s, she started appearing to another nun. And one of those apparitions, and what I'm going to tell you a story after, this is really cool. The nun was Padre Pio's spiritual director while she was alive and after she was deceased. So the Lady Rosa Mystica was appearing to her. One of the apparitions were all these numbers. They couldn't figure out what the numbers were. The numbers ended up being latitude and longitude from Italy to upstate New York, in the middle of nowhere, smack in the middle of Baptist country. And the funniest thing, it was on Angel Hill Road, not because we road, everybody thinks we did, because Mr. Angel owned a lot of the property. So she came from overseas. She did prayer, fasting, adoration for 30 days. She decided this is where our Blessed Mother wants, like a house of refuge, to be built. And there was a statue that's in front of our church right now that levitated, that people that were there saw it levitate with her, and where it stopped is where the church was built. But the reason I'm bringing up the Padre Pio is we have such a strong connection to Padre Pio.
So, because some of this stuff, it's like I'm wrapping my mind around it as I'm hearing it. For those, you know, in the interview, some of these things, I don't know any of it, so I'm hearing it for the first time too. So a nun from Germany,
From Italy, yes.
Had Our Lady Rosa Mystica specifically point out where the shrine is,
right?
Giving her the exact coordinates, and then she came over to the United States to kind of purchase and develop that land to become now the retreat center that it is.
Yes, she came over there to pray about it, and there was a priest from Brooklyn, Father Storaci, and a group of friars from Canada, and they built the place. So she came over to see if that's where Our Lady really wanted this place built. Yeah. So they had built it. But back to Padre Pio. So Padre Pio was very close to her and with her all the time.
Yeah.
Now we have Padre Pio shows up all the time at Rosa Mystica. So we had a priest from Divine Mercy, one of the priests over there, Father Diego, and he came to do a Spanish retreat. So he goes back to his cottage at night to go to sleep. Padre Pio shows up. This was a few years ago. and gives him direction all night. He was going through a few things, and Padre Pio spent the whole night with them. And after, Padre Pio says to tell us, you know, the management, that Padre Pio is our spiritual director for Rosa Mystica.
Wow.
So he came another time. There was a group there. They travel all over the country. They're a big group. They're very prayerful. They get up every morning and they do their prayers, like hundreds of them online. And there was one of the teenagers who's like, listen, I can do all this, not go into adoration. I do not believe that's God. That's just too much for me. And her parents, no matter where they went, they couldn't get her to go. So she didn't go. She was in her cottage. She heard a noise outside. She walks outside. She sees a monk. They sit down the stairs, and he explains to her about the Eucharist and how that's the real presence and everything else. And she shows up at adoration, and everybody's mouths were like, what? Like, how is she here? And she's like, the monk explained, the monk. I'm like, we don't have a monk here. We don't have any monk here.
So who was it? It was Padre Pio.
Let me show you a picture. And sure enough, she goes, yes, that's him.
Wow. I mean, Joanne, it's like I have to stop you because if right now, are you the owner of the retreat center or steward?
I'm the steward. We had a family foundation. We built churches in third world countries for the poor. My mother was Irish, loved the poor. And somebody got us involved in this. We didn't want to be involved in this, and they left us with it. They got us involved, and they left us. So we do what good Catholics would do. We're like, we're giving it away. We're so out of here. The day we tried to give it away to Father Bill McCarthy, he had a heart attack, couldn't close on it, was fine the next day. We had a few more things like that happen, and my mother got in prayer from the Blessed Mother. This is your mission now. America's in trouble. And I want you in America. So we took what was left in the foundation while they were alive. They had money from my dad selling his company and built it up. So it's not a private foundation. It's a public 501c.
Yeah.
And I am the executive director.
Wow. I mean, if I was like in your position and I had a retreat center where Padre Pio appeared to a priest overnight, you know, in kind of like an ecstatic vision, I'd be like, that's all I need. I don't need any more miracles. I'm going to put that on every poster, on every whatever, just say, hey, we're the place where this happened. You need to come. And all the other stuff, I'm like, you don't need more, but it just sounds like that you have like boatloads of stories, like that's just the tip of the iceberg.
You know, I'm actually glad you said that because a lot of times you're working all the time. You know, you have the spiritual component, but you also have the business component.
Sure.
So sometimes I forget how incredible, and there's so many stories, but I forget how incredible each one of them is.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like science fiction, you know?
Right.
You know, but for everyone that's listening, pinch yourselves. She's telling us the truth. So for instance, who are some of the people, since you've been the executive director, that have been there to give retreats, you know, who are some of the speakers that have come?
Oh, okay. Just this year alone, we had Father Blunt, who's amazing, on fire.
Yeah.
Father Dan Rehal, also on fire. Father Chris Alar.
Yeah, no one knows who those guys are.
Yeah.
Who are those people? That's
who
incredible.
Are they?
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have a wonderful lineup for the rest of the season. And to get those priests there, and like especially Father Blunt, to the prophetic words, he had us, it's like 3 or 4 years ago now, we have an adoration chapel. And he said to me, you need to do adoration from Monday at 12 to Tuesday 12 every week. And the end of abortion in New York and then the United States is coming from that little chapel. And I'm like, we can't almost get adoration done for an hour or two during the week. Nobody's here during the weekend. Fine. I go, you probably didn't mean that. You probably want it on the weekend. He goes, no, that's what I mean. So we've been doing that. We're like, okay, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do it. And when we started doing it, like, laws have been changing. And, you know, I don't want to say that they're us or not us or anything. Yeah. I'm saying that,
you're part of the spiritual attack against that, for sure.
Right, right. And when the priests like that, we get a lot of direction from wonderful priests. And when we get that direction, we listen. You know, they're priests, we respect them. They say that, we're like, okay, all right, let's do it.
Wow, that is unbelievable. So you've had, you know, all those recognizable names. And what are the retreats typically like? Like, you know, for instance, like when Father Jim Blount was there and all them, is it a typical Friday to Sunday? What do those look like?
Yes, they start on Friday. People start arriving because we're in the middle of nowhere, and the Blessed Mother never picks an area that's easy to go to. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
I've noticed that.
Picks like we're at a conference center in the middle of the city or something. So it starts on Friday, and there's a lot of prayers. We always do, you know, all the sacraments and the rosary. We actually have a patriotic rosary outside where you can physically pray the patriotic rosary, which is unbelievable, especially like during the election. So many people came and prayed. But everybody's like, what are we supposed to do? And what we're supposed to do is pray. But to have a physical area to pray is incredible. So we'll do events, really, things, talks, prayer, we do nocturnal adoration.
Yeah.
So there's something going on all weekend. And also too, what happens when you arrive and you're at a holy place, it's like Medjugorje. I don't know if you know Steve McDonald, but he said Rosa Mystica is the Medjugorje of United States. When you get to a holy place like that, you're like, what just happened? Like you get there and God gives peace. He gives peace to everyone that comes. So it's almost God's grace is affecting you as soon as you get there.
Yeah.
And what we try to do is be good stewards to build up people's faith, and that they go home with that stronger faith, and then they pass that faith along. And also we ask everybody to go home and pray for your priests. And it's beautiful. And with all these years of this going on too, we're like family now too.
I can imagine.
I'm back. They can't wait to see you. You know.
Do you pretty much have retreats every weekend, or is there like a retreat season that you tend to have?
We start in April and mid-April, and then we end in October because of weather. So we'll do private retreats, small retreats. You know, we have retreat groups that come in. We have youth groups that come in. So there's certain retreats that are, you can go and you can purchase it where you can sleep there, be in the whole retreat, get fed and everything else. And then there's other just tons of buses that come for the day. And I actually have a nice story about another one, like just crazy. Okay.
Yeah, share, so please.
This bus came from Canada for the day. The women were lovely. And my old manager used to work there. She had three little girls, and she was Protestant. Her husband was Catholic, and they were not married in the church. And so the ladies came from Canada, and they were teaching the girls the rosary. This is how you do the rosary. And they spent the time, and they went in the gift shop. They bought the girls rosaries. Well, the next day, the girls decided to go up to the main chapel in front of our statue of Our Lady, and they started praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. So they actually made a show about this on TV. So they start praying the rosary, and then the one girl who's facing the altar is frozen. She can't move. And the other two are kind of running around, but they're like, stop it, stop it. You're scaring us. Why are you doing that? And then she goes like this. She points, and the other two see it. It was St. Raphael. So St. Raphael was there with crying, a little bit of tears. I don't know why, you know, and the children, then they all panic and they ran down. And, you know, we had an office on Long Island. They called me up. They're like, what should we do? I'm like, don't have a handbook for this one. I go back up there. So they go back up, you know, St. Raphael's gone. The whole family has a conversion. The parents, the mother becomes Catholic. the mother and the father get married in the Catholic Church.
Wow.
And all the children become Catholic.
That is incredible. And that's just like a day in the life of,
yeah,
of the Rosa Mystica Shrine.
Right. Like people have, and they're all individual experiences too.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like not that the one thing keeps happening. It's,
yeah,
you know, Christ-like, Our Lady does what people need. Like we, yeah, have priests there.
People have different experiences, some this, some that, maybe healing, maybe growth in their faith, or maybe other more intense experiences, it sounds like.
Right, like people who want to get pregnant, and they come and they pray, and then they come back with their babies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's always amazing. So last weekend, somebody got engaged there, just to see it, you know, was because they wanted to thank Our Lady for everything that they were doing for their relationship. We had a priest from New York, Father Linder, and I didn't know he had glaucoma. He didn't say. He came up there to do the retreat for the weekend, and he goes in front of, there's a gigantic crucifix. It used to be the second, now it's the third largest in the country.
Wow.
And he's praying in front of it. And what he's praying, he's like, Lord, if you really want me to be a priest, I need to see the people that I'm preaching to. Maybe I got this calling wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a priest. But if you want me to stay where I am, I want to be healed. So he doesn't tell us that he got healed. Then he goes back, he goes, gets the test, totally healed. I mean,
wow.
And then my mother gets sick years later. We're in the hospital. It's COVID. They let me in one time. They weren't going to let me in again. I'm like, you need to get me a priest. And this even wasn't even where this priest was before. He was in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And he comes up, everybody's got the masks on. And he looks at me and he goes, is that you, Joanne? And I go, is that you, Father Linder? Yeah. And now this priest that got the healing said, I'm going to take care of your mother. Like she's my mother, because I know you can't get back in. So your, yeah, mother is now my mother. And look how God puts everything together. And it was years before. It was just so beautiful.
That's really, really beautiful. Wow. You know, I think of a place like this and I think, how come everyone doesn't know about it? There's so many things, you know, these things are things that that we can share. I'm sure you could almost write a book about all the different stories and people that you've seen come in, have these experiences, healing, conversions, come out completely transformed people.
It is. It's really something.
Yeah. And you also offer, because not everyone can go there physically, because it's in a, you have to fly in like to Albany Airport.
Right.
Or there's another,
right,
one. But you can also attend some of these retreats virtually, correct?
Right. If you go on our website,
rosamiscofamerica.org,
you can sign up and listen to retreats online.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic for people that can't get there. It's really great. And also, too, people have been healed online.
Yeah.
I know Father Blunt, every year when he comes back, too, he'll say he got a letter from somebody that was watching it online and they got a healing. And, you know, our Lord and Our Lady don't have restrictions.
Yeah, that's always incredible to see, because I think people don't know, or they just don't have either the time or the resources, but that makes it significantly more accessible.
Yes.
You know, and here I think it'd be a good time to say, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this interview with Joanne is because I'll be, along with other people, leading a retreat there. So I guess we're going to be the last retreat that we do.
I think you'll be the closing retreat. Yes.
So it'll be
so excited about
myself, Kendra,
Vanesh,
Pat and Joy Campbell. They have,
yes,
this channel called Joyful Hope TV, I believe. They have I did a video with them one time where they, in Ireland, they prayed over me and had these prophetic words. It was the most beautiful experience, because I've had lots of experiences, lots of people pray over me. Sometimes it's like disappointing. A lot of times, honestly, it is. I always have these high expectations, and they just blew mine out of the water. It was so beautiful and detailed and precise, it was like perfect. You know, it was like not too salty, not too sweet, not too spicy. It was perfect. It was it was like, and my heart was so receptive to it, is that like almost just right after I made a video about it, then it was funny. Then they started getting like busloads of people there. The story happened that they had done a conference where not a lot of people showed up because it wasn't well advertised. Then I came kind of providential how I got there. They pray for me. I do that video. And then all the rest of their conferences were full. So they are really amazing people. They've literally been to hell and back.
Right.
So I'm excited to go like as like a retreatant, you know?
Yeah, you know, but, and they're phenomenal. He's one of my favorite people for speaking, where he gets so enthusiastic and everything. But I think for the prayers, even for me too, I'll always like get in line and get, I'm like, I think we need that, you know? Yeah. It builds you up. It gives you a word. It's like, okay, God's paying attention to me. And they have that gift of doing that. And like you said too, you know, in ministry work, there's not a lot of people that really have that gift, you know, and some people think that they do and they don't, or other ones, they have other gifts. We all have different gifts.
They have it in a way that I haven't seen or experienced in other people very much. For me, that weekend, so I'm excited just to, you know, I'm still churning in my mind, what am I going to share or what am I going to, the things I'm going to say. But for me, it's providential because the following weekend is kind of like my channel's high point because it's All Souls, All Saints, All Souls. So that's like the most viewership for my channel for the whole month. So for me, it's perfect timing. It's like I'm going to get a bomb of grace dropped on me. And then last year before that, God will always do things where he's like giving me more grace. Last year I was sick and in the hospital literally the week before all of that. And that was his way of like putting me on retreat to get away. This year, praise God, I'm going to be at your retreat center. So that'll be much nicer. But people can go and attend that one physically. They can, stay on campus. They could stay outside and just kind of attend if you're from that local area. You can also attend it through Zoom virtually if you're in some other part of the country.
Yeah, and we do. We get people come from all over the place. We're right near Cooperstown, about 20 minutes. So Cooperstown, for those that don't know, is Baseball Hall of Fame. So off season in October is fantastic because you can't get any if we're sold out on, you know, on campus, then you can get into Cooperstown. So people that are interested should get, you know, if they want, it's the best is to be there if you can and, participate all night. So it's better to sign up sooner than later.
Sure. A few things as we're getting towards the end of our time. One thing I was thinking was, why do you think it's such a holy place? I think we talked about it a little bit. Have you ever pondered that or wondered, did something happen there? Were there some saint there? Like, did something happen other than just God choosing it and gracing it? Any history like that connected with that area?
You know, we had a ex-IRA bomber whose mother gave him the traveling statue of Rosa Mystica, and he had a conversion, and he came and he gave a talk there, and he was very prophetic. And I really resonated me what he said. He said, when the earth was formed, that the angels knew where the Blessed Mother was needed when she was going to be needed. And all those places like Lourdes and Medjugorje, Fatima, where heaven and earth are a little bit closer to each other. Yeah. And that's why you can kind of feel those graces. I also think what's very different about the Rosa Mystica apparitions is that they're happening all over the world. And what's going on is statues are crying, blood's coming from their eyes, oil's coming from their eyes. So I think what's different about this apparition, and this is a layperson's, not a scholar saying this, but I think this time, lady's like, oh, world's in trouble, and she's coming to us.
Yeah,
she's coming. She's not saying, I'm restricted here. You know, like, I want to bring the world. It's time to bring the world back to my son. And she's coming as Our Lady of Rosa Mystica, and she's coming individually. She's coming to homes. I mean, we had a somebody that got the Rosa Mystica sash from her, from us. The mother died. The dad died 2 days later. They brought the statue to the wake. The parents had a big devotion, and the statue was there crying. Our Lady was crying. Like, we had Our Lady statue crying at Rosa Mystica. We have one in at the end of the Stations of the Cross. Yeah. And we were all out there one day planting. We have 1,600 St. Benedict medals protecting the property that we all planted.
And, and how, 1,600?
1,600, yeah.
I mean, I keep kind of saying, like that alone, if I were to own a retreat center and I would say, you need to come here because there's 1,600 St. Benedict medals just pouring out graces and chewing away, you know, demons. I mean, just that is like, you sold me just on that.
And I don't know if you know this, but we have a relic museum.
Yeah.
And reliquarium, we're calling it. And Father Carlos Martin is a good friend of us, used to come every year. And Father, we had 300 and something relics. So he authenticated. We gave them all to him to authenticate. 200 were no good. And we got them all legitimate sources. Just so now we ended up a little over 100 relics. But the reliquarium is incredible. Like, one of the relics alone has a bone of each of the 12 apostles.
Wow.
So there's there, and that reliquarium is underneath where we do adoration. So I look at it like, whoa, like the power. That's just
so usually a lot of times we have this image of the saints above us, but the saints here are beneath you.
Right. Just,
you know, just
messing up.
Holding you up, raising you up to Jesus. That that is pretty awesome.
Awesome, yes.
Well, I if people want to find out the calendar or to sign up, where do they go for more information?
Okay, so you can go on our website, rosamiscaofamerica.org, and then, or you can Google Rosa Mystica, you'll find us. And and then we have an events calendar where you can sign up. And also, too, we have, during the week, we're quiet. So people that want to, you can come, you can rent a cottage.
And do like a private thing.
You could do a private thing. People really enjoy that. And we also host lots of priests. Like, I was there last Monday. So I go back and forth. I live there and on the island. And it was Monday, and we had three priests and a deacon on the altar. Like, where are you getting that? Like, I'm just sitting, now that's where I'm in awe. I'm like, you can't even get a, like, churches are closing.
Yeah.
And they were all
there. No vocations crisis at Rosa Mystica.
Right.
That is incredible.
We've had so many vocations too, and that's really what Our Lady's calling for, and which is a blessing. And that's what we really pushed the youth too, to get more and more vocations.
Yeah. So incredible amounts of fruit. The link will be on the screen for you all to go check it out. So I think there's so many wonderful things. Hopefully those that you're listening, you'll get to meet me in person. Please come if you're able to, if you're kind of in that part of the country, please come. I think it's going to be, I know it'll be absolutely incredible, but if there's other retreats that speak more to you, go to those, give yourself that gift. I think every Catholic should go on a retreat at least once a year, maybe every other year, because we need it. We need that extra time of dedicated grace. Any last words, maybe to someone who's thinking, oh gosh, is this all real, or should I do this, or is it worth the cost? Sometimes they could be expensive. Any words of encouragement to those people?
I think Our Lady's waiting. She's waiting for you, and you're all her children. She wants to heal you. She wants to pour the love on you. She has a plan for each one of you, and nobody's there by accident.
Yeah.
Everyone goes there. If Our Lady's calling you, I mean, sometimes people I met said, it took me 3 years to get here. And I don't know what took me so long. And then, you know, so I think come and experience the peace. I have one of my really good friends from Brooklyn with, you know, adorable girl, but heavy, heavy Brooklyn accent. And she gets up there and she never stops talking ever. Wow. Like, I love going in the car with her. We drive up because at least somebody's talking the whole time. And then she gets up there with the Brooklyn accent, and she gets out of the car, and she goes, "Joe," she goes, "I'm speechless." And I go, "Oh, that's number one miracle of the year."
Wow.
But she was. She couldn't talk. Yeah. She was just blown away. And I don't know. It's simple. It's a simple place. It's, you know, it's very simple. It's a remote in the middle of nowhere, and that presence is there.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, especially sometimes people can be skeptical, then they think, well, that won't happen to me. But it sounds like this is one of those places where it will, whatever it is that your heart desires, maybe those other places, but it sounds like this is an extremely graced place that we have here, thankfully, in our country. And for those from Canada, come and receive the incredible amount of graces that Our Lady wants to pour out on you. Joanne.
And we are approved this year as for a pilgrimage site for the year of hope. So
Yes.
So we got approved as one of the designated locations. So you'll come, and you can get those blessings as well this year.
Wonderful. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for joining us, for sharing about this incredible shrine. Is it fair to call it a shrine or a retreat center?
Is. It is a shrine. We got it approved by the bishop as a shrine, and we do have paperwork and become the national shrine of Our Lady of Rosamisca. So everyone pray for that.
That would be incredible.
Would be great. Really would be.
Well, how about we finish with a prayer to Our Lady Rosamisca, if you wouldn't mind leading us.
Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We ask you, Our Lady of Rosamisca, you ask us for prayer, for penance, and for sacrifice. So when we come to you, we don't come empty-handed. We're coming to you with the gifts, and with those gifts, we're asking you to return those gifts. We want all of your children to know you, to love you, and to be with you. And so we ask you for any graces that you want upon anybody that's listening to this interview, any people that want to come to Rosamisca, that you pour out those graces abundantly. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.